We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Mavs Party. I am Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief over at MavsMoneyBall.com. This is the Pod Maverick secondary post-game live show where you have the ability to join and hang out and talk a little basketball with me. Those of you who are listening to the show live, watching the show live on YouTube, in the comments, there is a pinned post. It is to a link to StreamYard.com. If you click that link, you can really easily join the show from your computer or from your phone, and you can talk to me, ask some questions, fire off some takes, and it's a fun way to kind of engage here. It's much better than spending time on Twitter or on Reddit, and arguing with people by slamming your keys down on your keyboard. Shout out to my friend TGK TV. The Garcia kid. And yeah, that's kind of what I got going tonight. We'll hang out here for a little while. As everybody knows, I mentioned this on my last show, I have a heart out in 25 minutes because I have to feed my baby. But if you have basketball takes, would love to hear them. Coming up first is my man Micah, probably the most I would call him the biggest NBA wide head out of folks who regularly join this chat, because he watches every basketball game in existence, it seems like, when he comes up on stage here. So, Micah, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Kirk? Happy Easter. Yes, I am one of the true sickos. But, I love the way this team looks. I love the chemistry. It's just, there's certain things that when players talk, pique my ears, right? So, like in Kyrie's last post-game interview, and I think Luke was in the room, and he was saying something about it's an honor to play one of the greatest to ever play the game. And I think Luke was trying to like downplay it, and Kyrie is like, no, stop it. I'm not gassing you. You are, bro. You are. So I'm just loving the way these guys love to play for each other, how they celebrate each other. It's just fun to watch, especially after what we went through last year.
That's a really, really strong take. One of the fun parts about the Western Conference Finals run was the team chemistry. Team chemistry is something I think that can occasionally be overplayed, but when things are coming down to the wire, I think it's really, really important. Vibes do matter. Regular season performance does play a massive part into what's going to happen in the postseason. So I understand that, like, with some of the teams that are, like, stumbling down the stretch. I mean, the Nuggets played one bad game and look kind of eh, and then they came out today and just destroyed the Cavaliers, who are a Eastern Conference playoff team. And so it's really easy to sort of get a little too in on narrative-based things, but the way the Mavericks are playing basketball at the, like, the right way for how I think Jason Kidd has envisioned it for the better part of 3 years, paired with the, you know, the rule changes, and then there's the results on the floor. You can't really ask for more heading into the playoffs. I mean, you really just gotta, and let's be clear, like, the Mavericks are going to make the playoffs. They haven't, you know, locked anything up yet, because if they go on like a 9-game slide, then yeah, they're gonna lose, but this is, or they're gonna fall out, but that's probably not going to happen. This is just, it's a good time to feel good about the Mavericks, and you know, there's things you'd like to see them improve on, I'm sure, but right now it's just fun.
Right. And you know what, Kurt, just to touch back on me being a basketball sicko. Good God, man, the Eastern Conference is so garbage. Like, I want to redo the trend of we're done with the 90s and turn it into we're done with the East. Mm. It is garbage. It is a dumpster fire. Like, there's literally only one good team in the East, and I think they're not even close to the top three teams in the West, if I'm being completely honest.
It's like the Hawks are a play-in team. The Hawks, I think are going to be – I had some amazing statistics thrown at me earlier today. I'm seeing if I can find – trying to see if I can find what one of them was, but it was just, they're just so bad in the East. It's so embarrassing.
Kurt, Tristan Thompson is playing real minutes for a 3 seed in the East. That's what we're talking about.
This was in
2024.
This guy, Brian Shimkus, tweeted at me earlier today, and he said, the Hawks can basically lose out, finish 14 games under 500 and still be a lock for the play-in. Whereas the Rockets, who are 3 games over 500, I guess now 2 games, they won 11 straight games and couldn't move out of 11th place. Like, it's just a murderous difference. It's not even fair.
This is the Eastern Conference that led to LeBron James going to 10 finals. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, LeBron was like a shark, though, chasing everybody west. Hey, man, you got anything else before we move on to Ariel?
Nah, man, let's just keep it moving. We're playing great basketball. I love it. Happy Easter to you, Kurt.
You as well. See you Tuesday.
Hello.
All right. All right, coming up next is, I think, first-time guest on the show. Don't recognize the name, but maybe we'll recognize my man when he joins the stage. Ariel, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the show.
First-time guest. Yeah.
Excellent.
The Mavs look great. I'm wondering how you felt about Hardy's play, because it was painful watching him on both ends of the floor, honestly. Not just offense.
It's tough, man. Horrible. It's so, you know, Josh Bow and I briefly touched on him. I think he's the only Mavericks player to have a negative plus minus. We as a fan base, the collective fan base, I think you want to see a guy succeed. I don't think there's anybody that, you know, maybe with the one exception of like Dwight Powell, who fans seem to like want to throw into the wood chipper, but you'd like to see Hardy put in a position to succeed. And tonight, he had the opportunity. I think Kyrie kind of gave up the keys to him in the first half and let him run the offense, and he just doesn't know what he's doing. And that part of me is a little bit – I'm frustrated for him because I don't understand why the Mavericks would do that. He's not a point guard. When he catches the ball catch-and-shoot situations, I really like it. When he catches the ball on – or, like, gets the ball on the run on, like, a dribble handoff spot, I like his decision-making because he's already moving. When he is like running the offense, like a point guard dribbling the ball up, he is not that guy. Don't like it.
Yeah, I get the idea of getting him involved in various aspects. I mean, like you said, you want the guy to develop. But I mean, if the Mavs are going to make a strong run here, I feel like, I mean, yeah, sure, in this kind of game, you want to let him in. But long term, I mean, I'd rather see some like Hardaway, you know, stay in there as like a sharpshooter. I mean, he needs to kind of be less of a scorer, more of a sharpshooter, maybe. That's my opinion. But, you know, you know, long term, I people don't like giving him minutes. I don't know why, but I feel like the team's great when Hardaway can just knock it down. But in these games, I get giving it to Hardy. You know,
let him I
get
saw the experience. Somebody in my Twitter mentions described Hardy as Tim Hardaway without the history of long heat checks, which made me laugh because like. We've seen Hardy do some fun stuff, but the Hardaway situation is at least for folks on this show, if you've been listening at all, fans are really tired of the Tim Hardaway experience, which is why like tonight it was really nice. The Mavericks went to Exum off the bench first instead of Hardaway. I still think there's a spot for Hardaway in moments, but I very much hope the Mavericks adhere to sort of what I would describe as the Davis Bertans rule, where if he gets three shots off and doesn't hit any of them, you yank him and put him back into cold storage until the next game.
I hear you. Anyway, man, I really appreciate the show. Have a good one.
Thanks. No, thanks for joining. I hope you come back. Talk soon. All right, last, only got one more guest hanging out in the waiting room. If you'd like to join, once again, guys, there is a StreamYard.com link pinned to the YouTube chat. You can click on that and join the show. We're going to go to our resident old man and occasional chief hater in charge, Mr. Dang. What's going on, my friend?
Well, what an introduction. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. The last time you were up here, the Mavericks won a big game, and you came on the show with, like a raging heat take. It was great. You were just mad. I don't remember who you were mad at. And, like, the first three comments on the video were like, what's this guy's problem? it just really stuck with me. It made me laugh.
Well, you know, it's good to be the resident grumpy motherfucker, you know?
Sure.
We kind of miss Akiva, so he told me to – he whispered in my ear, you know, hey, you need to take up the slack on the Jason Kidd hating club. But I got to give him his props. He finally adjusted six games ago, you know. But it shouldn't take 10 games. I'm still on the fire Jason Kidd train. I don't give a shit, you know. He's burnt his bridges before. He'll do something stupid in the end. You know, the team can only go as far as the coach. You know, that's the only thing that limits them. That's their ceiling. You know, that's what I see, you know, in the tight games when we're going to about to play the great coaches and where little things matter, especially in the end, we're not going to be able to hang. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to enjoy this as long as I can because I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, Kirk.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not popping the champagne, you know, because let's get real. I mean, look at all the championship teams that have done really well. They've had Hall of Fame coaches,
sure, you know,
or borderline Hall of Fame coaches. Do you really think Kidd's even an average coach?
I mean, I like Josh Bo's take right now that he's a – I don't know if you heard the last show. He had a take that he thinks Kidd's a bit of a front-running coach, that when things are going well, it amplifies his ability to coach versus when things are going shitty, it makes him significantly worse. I like that as a take because he has been a lot more active. I also think – with the way, and I'm just going to emphasize this, folks are probably going to get sick of me talking about this. I think the rule changes to the more physical play really, really favors how Kidd envisions basketball. And the Mavericks are playing physical basketball right now.
I can see that because he came from an era where there was hand checking, the era where you could mug the guy downstairs.
That's right. And I think it plays into his sensibilities as a coach and how he views his sort of basketball worldview, so to speak. And I think if this stay is here to stay, and I really, really, really think it is, because I think folks have liked the my general sense is that the basketball being played since February 1st, fans are liking the game more because it doesn't feel like it's defenses can now play. And not, you know, Luka wasn't exactly unethical in his scoring, but it's like the shit that Trey and there's a, and really, I mean, not to criticize the guy too much, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was really he got a lot of grifty calls. Luka would bait Lucas, I think, is such a talented scorer that the way the game was called often encouraged him to bait. But I think with the way the game's called now, he's playing the finest basketball of his career because he has to deal with the physical play. He's making pinpoint passes and really playing like an MVP in his scoring because he's not constantly seeking out contact. And it's like he's just playing fantastic basketball. And I think bringing it back to the kid of it all, if this is how it is, then I really think he might be with us for a while. I mean, I you know, he's been putting out feelers that he'd like a contract extension. Like, for me, I don't really want to talk about it. Well, I mean, I appreciate, like, the, like, look, you know, who among us wouldn't want to be like, hey, you know, I deserve a raise.
It's not about him right now. That's the whole thing that gets me.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to try it if you can. At that part, but there's just no, like, there's no market-based reason to extend kid right now unless he's like, well, I'm going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, well, go ahead. But I don't know. I right now it's hard to criticize the guy. They're doing great stuff. The rotations are good. They gave a guy tonight, like Hardy, a chance, and he just didn't do anything with it. And so
– but it's not a fair assessment of Hardy, too. You don't give him consistent minutes.
But why, like, what – but what – during a must-win portion of the season, I don't think it's past the time of trying to give a guy consistent minutes. Do you know what I mean? This is a game where the Mavericks got up, and then they had a block for him to play, and he couldn't do it. Right.
Oh, I agree, but at the same time, we should never have played THJ so long. The Darvis Bartan rule should have happened 20 games ago. And in those 20 games, we had a chance to develop Hardy more.
Yeah.
We had a chance to also play Omax a little more.
No, but Omax is – so you go look at some of the legend stuff with Omax. Omax is liking the repetitions he's getting. He doesn't seem to view this as a demotion. He is viewing this as a developmental period. And I think with that kind of attitude paired with just playing a ton, that can really help a guy like that because his role is specific. I mean, that's what the Hardy stuff is a little bit frustrating when he can't fucking dribble, you know, when he decides, like, you know what, I'm going to take Amen Thompson, a potential future all NBA defender, off the dribble only to get waxed. Like, that shit drives me crazy. But, you know, Omax is not that kind of player. Omax is like, he'll probably come into the league next year and slot in a specific role within the Mavericks, probably like an eighth, ninth man kind of guy. And that's going to, we're all going to be like, this guy rules. Why didn't we do this more? Right. And it's so, it's easy to be judgmental of that after the fact. So,
well, yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I was still touting him early in the season for some more playing time, you know. But, you know, I think, like you said, we have a good shot if the style of play is this way.
Yep.
And because really, kid cannot adapt. Yep. The game has to be in his favor, and he has to be a front runner, just like Josh was.
But right now the Mavericks are in that front running position where are forcing the issue. They have multiple ways to win, and I really like that. Hey man, I just realized I have 12 minutes before I got to go. Right. So I'm gonna get some other folks. Hey, thanks so much for coming up.
Thanks, Kurt. Bye.
All right, Isaac, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can. You sound great.
Awesome. Yeah. This is the first time. I have three small kids, so it's the first time I'm up when you're doing a live show. So long time
listener. I just inject caffeine directly into my eyes, and then I feel have, horrible.
Beer number four, I think, for the
That's
night.
What I'm so talking about. That's kids what I'm talking about. Good for you.
Trying to go to sleep, watch the game on and off. Just wanted to start off. First of all, I consider like three Mavs podcasts that I listen to. You got Tim Cato, obviously. Amazing. Locked on, and then you guys. I kind of throw, if I want to feel good about the team, I listen to Locked On. And
Nick. Oh, yeah. No.
Miss Isaac on that show.
Yeah.
If I want unbiased, non-fan opinion, listen to Tim. If I want to feel realistic about the show, I listen to you guys.
I like that. That's an emotional scale.
But you guys make up like a beautiful family of Mav podcasts.
Sure. Well, there's a number of others out there I would recommend. We got one, my man, the Garcia kid coming up. He runs a pregame show. If you ever want to listen before the Mavericks, he'll probably post his feed out there. There's also We Talk Mavs. What is the name of Bibb's podcast? What is wrong with me? Oh, The Outsiders. There's like six or seven that I honestly love all these guys, but I can't listen to their shows because
there's so many.
It also influences my take, and I don't want to steal other people's takes by accident.
Yeah, sure.
So what's going on? What'd you think?
Yeah. So I watched the game on and off. I had three kids running around for Easter, hopped up on candy. So I tried to watch as best as I could on my iPad. I haven't seen Luka really complaining. I don't know if that's just because we're winning Or if it's he truly has turned a corner, maybe it's the way that the refs are reffing the game now and his physicality. Because one thing about Luka, he does not flop.
No.
He may be foul baits, but he does not flop.
I think
and
that's right.
Something that no one talks about. And so I don't know if just the way the game's being called now, like he knows he's not going to get those calls, and so he just rolls with it. Or if he really has turned a corner and he knows that, like, he's got to let that go. I don't know what you're talking
about. A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. Because if it does seem like he's talking less, but instead, I'm like, tonight, he was not talking at the refs. He was talking at the Houston players. Yes.
If he could take the energy towards the refs and turn it into shit talking towards the other team, I think that is like, it's a Kobe thing. No one wants to compare Luka and Kobe, but there's a something that he has that, like, he wants to destroy the other team.
I like the take.
Yeah.
I do.
So the only other thing, I know you have a few minutes and I want to let other people go, but are there two other players besides Kyrie and Luka you would rather have for a playoff game? When things slow down, we're in the half court, you've got to dissect a defensive scheme. Are there two other guys okay, let's eliminate Jokic. Are there two other guys you would have besides Luka or Kyrie in the playoffs?
So I think we work so well as a tandem. That's an interesting question about who else might work better or differently than Luka. Not right now, to be quite candid.
Right?
No.
And so I try not to be too optimistic because I spend too much on League Pass. Like, I live in South Carolina. I buy all my Mavs games, you know? So
sure.
If I'm getting optimistic, I'm setting myself up to be really pissed off if we lose. And I have three kids. I just don't have the time to be mad when I put so much into the Mavs.
Sure.
But I really am. Like, I mean, Denver scares me. I really don't want to play Kawhi in the playoffs.
Right.
But like, outside of that, I mean, obviously the Celtics scare me, but that's it.
Sure.
So
I like the take.
Am I just getting my hopes up? Am I setting myself up to be heartbroken, or maybe, am I correct?
Maybe, but like you said, you come here for pragmatism. This is a time where there, like, any optimism is based in actual stuff we've seen.
Yes.
It's not based in what could happen. It's based in what is happening.
Yes. This is not the bullshit from last year with Christian Wood and like our skeleton crew of a team.
That's right.
Like, we have, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like we have something real that is being built upon, and whether Jason Kidd is a good coach or not, something's working.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's a good coach because my hot take for the beginning of the year is he'd be gone after 20 games. That obviously didn't happen. Right now, it looks okay.
Well, Isaac, thanks for hopping on the show. Talk soon. All
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep. Sounds good. All right.
All right. Coming up next is Rain. Rain is calling in from the Southern Hemisphere. What's going on?
Hey there, Kirk. One real fairly quick take, to be honest. Now that we're the fifth seed, with the current record, it's fifth in the West. Mm-hmm. If the Mavs were in the East, that'd be good for the third seed. If Luka was a third seed, would there be any question about him being the MVP?
Zero, and I'm okay with that. I really do like the top three seed as kind of a particular standard bearer if there are other great candidates. But I think that what we're going to see this year in the MVP vote, particularly if Luka ends up playing another five or six games, is a really oddly split. Like, very before we knew who was voting for what, and basically voters got scared into voting in uniformity. There used to be different MVP votes. It's just how, like, Karl Malone won, for example. I think that's what I would hope for is I would have a hard time voting for Luka if I were like a, you know, like a Salt Lake City Tribune reporter or whatnot, but that's just sort of where we are right now. I hope he wins it because that would be great for us, but I don't know where we're going to fall.
Yeah. So I just don't see why we're applying a different standard to Jokic when he won his MVP to other recent MVPs.
Sure.
And it does feel like a bit of voter fatigue for Luka. On top of that, while being a fifth seed is better for Luka's MVP chances, I've had two off seasons of Luka versus Kawhi and Paul George, and I'm not particularly excited to see that again. I'm excited to see the Luka that Liv would play, level Luka would play to. But hey, who knows? Maybe with Kyrie and this current cast, they could get past. But I've said this before that I think the reason that the Clippers have never progressed further before is because when they did have a healthy team, they had to burn all the tread that they had on their tires against Luka taking them to 7 games, exhausted themselves, injured themselves, and thus couldn't make it any further. Just because they, like what happened to Reggie and Dodo, they just used up all the energy they had just to get past Luka, and that was it.
I like the take. That's a fun one. I hadn't really thought about that they were out of gas when they go into the next round. Well, Rain, thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Kurt.
All right, talk soon. Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear the baby stirring in the background, but I'm going to let him cry for a few minutes because I'm a terrible parent. Mr. Garcia, what's up?
What's going on, Kirk? How you doing, man?
I am pretty good. A little hopped up on caffeine at the moment. But thank you for joining the show. What's going on?
I wanted to say, Houston, we do. It begins with Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. I wanted to kind of say something as far as like the point with the Clippers and the Mavericks. And I know there's a bit of hesitation with a lot of fans out there. And I want to say, guys, there's going to be a different team this time. You literally have two centers. You have one of the greatest fourth quarter closers. You got literally one of the greatest players, or the greatest player right now on the planet, in Luka Doncic. I would say, if anything, if anyone wants more revenge than us, it's probably Luka Doncic. And so for those that are or might be concerned with the Clippers, don't be, guys. We got a whole different team. You got a killer in Luka. You got a cerebral assassin in the fourth quarter in Kyrie. And you got defense. You got defenders that you could throw at Kawhi and PG. I'm not saying I'm not concerned about the Clippers, but I'm not saying I'm scared of them. I'm actually a lot more confident going against them this go around, if we actually get to there to take them on. But I prefer the 4 seed, right? How do you feel about the Clippers, Kurt?
I think it would be very poetic to finally beat the Clippers. Yep. You know, that was Jordan's thing about getting past the Pistons. It was LeBron's thing about getting past the Pistons.
Pistons, yeah.
And so it would be very neat in that regard. But, like, Kawhi is just such a fucking Terminator monster. He scares the shit out of me. Uh-oh. Everybody hear that in the background? Sorry.
Yeah, we're right. All right. No, you're good, man. I just really wanted to point that out. Honestly, I've been saying if Luka was 6th seed, he has a chance for MVP. If he's 5th seed, he should be first. And if he becomes 4th seed, no one else should be on that list. It should just go without saying that Luka should be MVP. So I'm not trying to hold you up. I know you got baby crying. Next time I try to be on here earlier, Kirk, but I appreciate you, man. And thank you for all you're doing, man. I've been saying the Mavs content creator space is nothing like it, and I don't think any other team has the coverage that we have, but appreciate for everything you're doing, man.
Absolutely, my guy. Talk soon. Thanks for joining.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right. Then coming up last is my man Ray. I don't recognize Ray. Hope he welcome to the show.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
Welcome. I'm good. Thanks for coming. Is this your first time on?
Second, I think the last time was after that Kings game last season when we were deciding to tank the rest of the season.
Yeah, that would just block certain things out of my brain. Yeah, how you doing? What's your take for tonight?
Very quick, because you've got a baby, so you can be as short as you want. In the third quarter of this game, and most of the fourth quarter, my wife noticed this too, we went to that small ball dreaded Maxi at the 5 lineup. Is this going to be a thing at some point that we're going to rip our hair out during the playoffs, or is it just an aberration of Derek Lively's calf or what have you? Because Kidd has this thing where sometimes he tries to outsmart himself and try stuff even though he doesn't need to anymore.
I would say it's more of a Lively thing because they just haven't used it that much. They've been playing him, but they've been playing him at the 4, not the 5. 100%. Now, the minutes with him and PJ at the 4-5 combination are actually great defensively, but offensively, it's just kind of blarg. And so I'm curious. There probably will be times where they try it. I just hope they don't do it against, like, Denver, who just bodies teams to death when you go small.
There's one thing real quick. Did you notice, and I don't know if this is just a coincidence, of Luka almost getting 50 points, but they only started doubling Luka and blitzing him when they've realized, oh, we've got Hardy, Hardaway, and Maxey on the court at the same time. Hell yeah, let's blitz the crap out of Luka.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Luka, it's a pick your poison thing. If you blitz the crap out of Luka, he's going to make the right pass every time. Stinking time. If you don't and you let him go one-on-one, you're essentially hoping he doesn't score 50 points. Now, one of the funny things about that second strategy is that he often gets really tired when he is, and so that's tough.
Yeah, but you're an opponent. You look at those three, Hardy, Maxey, Hardaway, you're going to take your chances on that for sure. So that's kind of the worry on my end. But apart from that, yeah, great win.
Great win. Ray, thanks so much for hanging out. Hope you come back.
Yep, thanks, man. Catch up.
All right, guys, thank you so much. I apologize to the audio for hearing the baby in the background. I promise I'm not a terrible parent. He is. We're doing some sleep training stuff, and he is waking up like 15 minutes before we're supposed to do a night feed anyways. That's parenting in a nutshell for you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us here at Pod Maverick Mavs Party. We'll be back on Tuesday. Let's see here. They play. Who do they play? Oh, it's a late game. They play the Warriors, and then they play the Hawks, then they play the Warriors, then they play the Rockets. Going to be a busy week. We'll be hanging out here. But I'm very, very sorry. See, my man Harold just hopped on, but I actually have to go, Harold. We will talk soon. Everybody be good, and go Mavs.